Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Morning, everybody. It's so good to be together, and such a privilege for me to stand up here and open God's Word and preach. It really is such a privilege. And yeah, I know each Sunday there's new people that come and look in and check us out. So just want to extend another warm welcome to you. If that's you, you're in your household, or you might be here on your own, a very warm welcome to you. Like Phil said, I'm Liam, one of the elders here, and I've had the privilege of being a part of this church family for just over 7 years. 7 years and a few days. All those wows are probably for those that have been here before me, and you might remember that 18-year-old South African, confident to say the least, probably slightly more than confident, long hair, well, long hair on the top, always short on the sides, and he was slightly immature. He needed a lot of growth and not a lot of development, a lot of strengthening. And I'm grateful for this church family. This is our family. And if you're a part of this family, it's a privilege to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm grateful to God for plugging me in here over these last 7 years. And when I look back, I'm so grateful. I'm not that 18-year-old Safa that was fresh on the shores and had a bit of culture shock. But God's knitted me in, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit has been at work in my life, and hopefully through my life as well. And I think that can be the same for all of us who call this church home. Yeah, just want to honor Bruce and T. I know they're not here this morning, but yeah, Bruce and T, they took risks on me, and just grateful for the doors they opened that I could grow and flourish. So we really do honor Bruce and T. If you have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22 from verse 35. We're going to read 5 verses, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll get right into it. So we, as you're finding your part in the Bible, Matthew 22, we're in a series called Vision, Values, and Ventures. It's a 3-week series, and each week is not Vision 1, Values 2, Ventures 3. It's all incorporated each week. And the second week of the series, well, last week, Mark / my dad, he looked at our upward Christward focus. And that as a church, our vision, our value, and our ventures for this year and into the future would be that we would be a people who love God with all of us. All of us, my whole being. That we would pursue Christ. That we would be captivated and committed to Him. And that is the vision. That is what we value. And that will be our venture this year. But this, or next week, Bones is looking at our outward focus. The third kind of great commandment. We see love the Lord our God, the first great commandment. This morning will be the second great commandment. But next week, the third great commandment, i.e. the Great Commission, our outward focus. How will we be a missional people that reach out to both neighbors and nations? This morning, however, is the second greatest commandment that we see in Matthew chapter 22. So let's read there. I'll pick it up from verse 35, and it goes like this. It says, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him," that's Jesus, "a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We recognize that all of Scripture is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and equipping us, Lord, for every good work. And Father, I ask this morning that you would equip us to love one another. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. 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 So the plan this morning is for me to look at what it means to be a church, a household of faith that love one another. And my emphasis, what I want to highlight this morning is four key things I want to highlight. Number one, I want to highlight the basis for love. The basis for love. Number two, the nature of love. Number three, the obstacles to love. And number four, practical love. That's where we're headed this morning. So I want to encourage you, if you do have a phone or a notebook, can I encourage you, write a couple things down. Don't try and write it all down because there is a lot this morning. And don't try and write nothing down. I want to encourage you, write one or two key things that really stand out to you. And I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit will highlight the things that need to be highlighted for you. If you are taking notes, the title of this message is A Waff on Love. A Waff on Love. How is your love? Village Church, and for those visiting, how is your love? Before I get into my sermon, get into full force of my sermon, can we, even just where we are right now, just for a moment, can I ask, kindly ask that we all evaluate our love. If there was a scale of 1 to 10, I know Bones has done this in the past and it was helpful for me. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being my love is non-existent, 10 being love is perfected in me and I'm like a walking angel. Where would you place yourself on the spectrum? How is your love, particularly love for this household of faith? 1 to 10, just write it down privately for yourself. And I want to encourage you throughout the course of this message and beyond, something to reflect on. And Lord, what do I need to put in place that I honor and obey you and what your word calls me to? A waff on love. Has anyone here got a waff recently? Hands up if you got a waff recently. I unfortunately got my waff recently and it was quite an expensive experience. But hey, it's now verified and all legal, so that's good. But if you're new to the nation, because I know there are some new and only been here for a few weeks, a waff is a warrant of fitness. That's what it stands for, a warrant of fitness. And if you look at the NZTA, a waff is essentially, it's a regular check to ensure that your vehicle meets required safety standards. So depending on the age of your car, there'll be a regular check. Does this vehicle meet all the safety standards and can it be legally on the road? Now this morning, a waff on love, my heart is that the reality is nothing that I share this morning would be new for those who have been in a church environment for a while. But could I ask that this morning we would evaluate and check where we are when it comes to love for one another? Life and all that it throws at us can so easily distract us and take our eyes off of Him and what He calls us to, and that is to love one another. So a waff on love. What do we need to do? What do we need to work on? What do we need to grow in as individual members of this body? So the first thing, the basis for love. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
Awesome. The basis for love. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, we need to understand why. What is the basis for this love? What is the underlying reason? In other words, or simply put, why love each other? Why is the Village Church, why is each person that calls us home, why are we called to love one another? 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19 onwards, it says, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now the Greek word there is adelphos. It refers to neighbor. It refers to fellow Christian. Not particularly gender. We don't just need to love the brothers in the room. The fellow Christian. We're called. It's a commandment that we must also love our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So why do we love each other? Number one, God first loved us. We love each other because He first loved us. And our response is not only to love Him, but it's that love then overflows to those around us. And God calls us to have love within this household of faith. And when we truly experience God's love, and you'll know, this will apply to you. When you've really, truly experienced and grasped just how much God loves you, it is far easier to love those around you. Am I right?
Yeah.
I know that's been my experience. The second thing on why we are called to love one another, God commands it. He tells us to love each other. And as Christians, we are people under authority. As Christians, we are people under authority, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, commands that we have love for one another. And as His people, we are under His authority, and we will obediently do it. And hopefully, it won't just be obediently, but joyfully. Hopefully, we will grow and get to a place where loving all will come from a place of joy, not just obediently kind of dragging my legs. 1 John 4, a few verses before, from 7 onwards, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We love because God first loved us, but we also love because God commands it. And this is the basis. This is the foundation. This is the underlying reasons for our love for one another. But what sort of love are we talking about? The second thing I want to look at and highlight this morning is the nature of love. What is the nature of this love for one another? What are the qualities? What are the characteristics? What kind of love am I talking about? John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." A couple chapters later in John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus speaks again and he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The kind of love we're called to is the love that Christ has for us. This is the love that God is calling his people to. The same love that Jesus has for me is the same love he calls me to love you with. The same love. As Jesus has loved you, God calls you to love us in this church family. His love. So what is the nature of this Christ-like love? A well-known verse or passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Although well-known and somewhat cliche, this is God's word. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Let's look at what that says. "Love is patient and kind." This is the love we're talking about. "Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." And as you keep your place in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, this is how I see it. Our love for each other needs to come from a place of patience, kindness, and humility. That's what verse 4 tells me. Verse 5 tells me that our love for one another should be honoring and selfless. Verse 6 shows me that our love for each other ought to be full of grace and truth. That's what verse 6 says. Our love for one another must be persistent, forgiving, and persevering. Persistent, forgiving, and persevering. That's what verse 7 and 8 shows us. Persistent, forgiving, and persevering. Another passage to kind of guide and direct what this kind of love is. 1 Peter 4:8. It says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly." In other words, love with a love that is sincere. Love with a love that is genuine. We are called to love earnestly. Our love needs to be sincere, genuine, not fake, not surface level. That's not the love God's people are called to. John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." We are called, that Greek word there's four kind of Greek words that describe love, but the love we're talking about is the agape love, A love with no conditions. A love that is sacrificial. And as believers, we are called to love one another with no conditions and to love with a love that is sacrificial, where I would be willing to lay my life down for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Village Church, how is our love? How is your love? We love because God first loved us. And we love because our Master and Lord Jesus Christ commands it. How is your love? Now, there's so much more that could comprise the nature of what this love is, so much so that we could not fathom just how enormous God's love is. And I'm not expecting us to remember every aspect of what I've just shared, but I am expecting myself and I'm expecting this church family to want to grow in our love. To want to grow in our love for Jesus, to grow in our love for the Father, to grow in our love to walk with the Holy Spirit. We're Trinitarian. But also that we would want to grow in our love for one another. That we would desire it. That we would put work in. That it would cost us, but that we would grow in love for Him and love for each other. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It's the only way I can love with a love like this. And even then I mess up. But it's by the power of God within us, His Spirit dwelling within us, that enables and empowers us to walk in this love that's been described. How is your love? As an individual member of this body, how is your love? The third thing I want to highlight this morning is the obstacles to love. What are the hindrances? What are the barriers? What are the things that stop us from loving one another? Who would agree with me that loving each other is hard work? Either your hand's up or you're nodding at me, but none of us can sit there thinking, nah, it's pretty easy. Nah, loving each other is hard work. It is not easy. There are obstacles. There are things that act as barriers to love. And I've just come up with five personal barriers. Things that whether in the past or even present today, these are things that kind of stop me from having love for others. In other words, having love for some of you, these are some things that get in the way. No doubt there'll be more that get in your way to love me. I'm hard to love sometimes. Here are some barriers for me. Insecurity. What do I mean by that? If you're like me, some of us will have this uncertainty or this anxiety about ourselves and would lack the confidence to come out of our comfort zone and reach out to those we may not be comfortable with. The thought of having to get out of my comfort zone and love the person that I have no idea who. Is it going to be awkward? Will they disregard me? Am I going to get rejected? And there's this insecurity that stops me from loving some of you in this room. Selfishness. Sometimes I just don't even consider other people. I'm so fixated and focused and distracted on me, myself, and I. The unholy Trinity. And I would put my money down that most of us will struggle with selfishness. Where we get so distracted on our own needs, our own desires, our own wants, what we're up to, that we don't even, it's not even from a, we just don't consider other people sometimes. A third one for me is unforgiveness. No doubt this will be a big one for a lot of us. Sometimes people hurt us. They offend us. We can become bitter. We can become kind of angry towards them. And then somehow in this pride within me, the person that's hurt me or offended me doesn't really deserve my love anymore. Like until they apologize or until they prove to me that they'll kind of deserve me to go out of my way and love them, well, no, I'm not going to love them more. And it all stems from unforgiveness. Hopefully it's not just me. I'm just confessing all these things here. I guess I'm a bang scripture, right? Number four, busyness. Again, I'd put even more money on this one. I don't gamble or put bets in, don't worry, church. Sheesh, this is really confessional. Number four, busyness. At times, I have been so consumed, I have been so under pressure, I've been overwhelmed with just all the things that I'm responsible for, that I just neglect to think about others, and it links to selfishness. I'm just so busy that I don't even stop to try and pause and be intentional about loving others. Because who knows, loving others requires intentionality. It doesn't just happen. Busyness can be a barrier. Church, if we're going to be a people who love one another, we need to overcome this thing of busyness where we're too busy for others. And then just lastly for me, and no doubt there'll be others, ignorance. You know, at times in the past, more so, not really now because I've spent hours and hours studying for this, but in the past, there's ignorance, just a lack of knowledge, not quite sure how to actually love others, not quite sure where to start. Am I going to do it right? Am I going to be weird? Or how do I love one another? How do I do this thing? And there's this ignorance. There's this lack of understanding or knowledge. I don't want to make things awkward. I don't want to be weird. Where do I start? Well, I'll just take a back seat. No doubt there'll be other reasons, other barriers, other obstacles to our love for one another. But church, if this is our vision, if this is what we value, if this will be part of our venture into this year, beyond, and into eternity, that we would be a people, God's people, who have love for one another, then we need to overcome some of these barriers. All of these barriers. What barriers do you need to overcome? Today, tomorrow, this week, into the year. What barriers do you need to overcome that are hindering you from having love for this household of faith? And then number four, the fourth thing I want to highlight this morning is practical love. What are some practical ways that we can have love for one another? In other words, how can I actually love my church family? You might be sitting there and maybe ignorance was one of the barriers for you or a different word that you'd use, but hopefully here are some practical things. Now, I haven't just Googled, what's 12 good ways to show love. You could do that, read the five love languages. All these things are helpful. I'm sure a lot of it actually ties in. But here's some scriptures that I'm aware of that give clear guidance, clear direction on how God's people are called to love one another. Because who knows, as Christians, scripture is our highest authority. When we need to know, when we need direction, when we need clarity on what are we supposed to do, well, what has God already told us to do? That's where we start. So Romans chapter 12, I encourage you, I think it's going to be on the screen, but open your Bible, follow me through a few verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 to 15. Is this all right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I hope this is encouraging and challenging, and that from this church will be strengthened, that I will be strengthened. Romans 12, verse 10. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. You know, when I read that, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, how can I publicly show respect and affirmation for someone? How can I honor them with my words? How can I be generous with my words? How can I honor people with my finance? How can I get in there with my card and pick up the bill? I want to honor people. No, I don't always do that. Forgive me, Lord. I need to get better. Verse 13, if you're following with me. Contribute to the needs of the saints. It's pretty practical. And this is a top tip that I've learned from experience. And who am I to tell you I've learned things from experience? I'm still young, but this is what I've learned. When someone says, let me put it like this. Can I encourage you not to say, when you know there's a need, not to say, hey, if you need anything, reach out. I'm not going to reach out, and that's my fault, and I need to work on my character. But I'm not generally going to reach out. Can I rather encourage you, if we're going to be a church that loves one another, can I encourage you, if you are aware or you think, you know, someone is carrying something, instead of saying, hey, if you need something, reach out, rather, what would I need in that situation? And then just do it. Just do it. You know, and even when we had Malachi 4 months ago or whatever, you know, there were things that we were struggling with. There were challenges. And for a lot of the time, is that Malachi? I love you, bud. There are things you're struggling with, and maybe it's independent. Maybe it's just, oh, I don't want to be the guy that's always asking for help. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's pride. But the reality is, for a lot of us, we're not going to reach out. But if you think, what does this person need? And then just do it. Whether it's dropping a meal off, whether it's, I mean, I'll just quickly, publicly, I just want to honor Zoe. She just like somehow got a spare key, came in and like cleaned our house, did our washing, and then drove out as we were coming in. I was like, that's weird. Why is she here? But that was her way of just, I'm not going to ask someone to come and do my washing, but she did it. How can we contribute to the needs of the saints? You know, there's people in this church where there were different needs in my life, and someone gave me an envelope with $1,000. I'm not going to say who. Another time there was $500 put in my account. People contributing to the needs of the saints. And I'm so grateful. If you're still with me, continuing on in 13, seek to show hospitality. Have people through your home. Make a cup of tea. Have them for a meal if you can. Whether it's a toasty, or whether it's a roast lamb, I don't know, it does not matter. Practice hospitality. Do you have a spare room? Are you aware of someone who needs a bed? There are people in this church. I've stayed with the Dobbs. Jess used to do my washing for a month. It was incredible. I've stayed with Steph and Anna Pollard. I've stayed with Josh and Rosie Benj. I've stayed with Dave and Sarah. Then I stayed back with Josh and Rosie for like another 12 months, which was an extended stay. I've stayed with Dan and Case for like over a year, so they allowed me to save for a wedding. People in this church have helped meet my needs. People in this church have practiced hospitality. Church, will we be a people who open our home, open our lives, open our hearts, be warm, welcoming, and inviting? This is how we love. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Will we be a people who celebrate milestones, successes, wins? Will we celebrate? Will we rejoice with each other? I hope so. Will we be genuinely excited for each other? If we continue in verse 15, weep with those who weep. Will we be a people who walk with others through grief? Will we listen well? Will we be present? Will we give good hugs? And that's, I'm genuine. Will we weep with those who weep? Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. And my personal application to this is, Liam, you do not always have to argue over disputable things and try and be right. Depending, if it's not disputable, well, hey, it's another story. Everything I believe is not disputable. No. To love one another means to live in harmony. And yes, there can be robust discussions, no doubt, but can I agree to disagree and still walk with this person? That verse continues, do not be haughty. In other words, proud. Do not be proud, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Now, there's many applications, but the thing that stands out to me is, Liam, will I connect with those on the fringe? Or will I remain in my comfort zone? Church, if we are called to love one another, that means everyone. Let's go to another passage. This is how we're going to land with just the practical love. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens. I think it continues, for this is how we'll fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Help carry the weight and pressure. That's what that scripture, when you look at kind of the Greek and how it's expounded. Help carry the weight. Pick up the weight. Take off the pressure. When someone loses income, how can I take the pressure off with a supermarket voucher or with gas money? Or, you know, after Malachi was born, like, man, I would have had to be doing all the cooking. But this church took some of the burden, some of the pressure, provided meals for a couple of weeks. That was love straight to my soul and to my tummy. And then just lastly on this, when I hear that verse, the thing that comes to my mind is this. Don't just say you'll pray for someone as you walk off and say goodbye. stop and pray for them right then and there. As we pray, we're taking some of the pressure. We're carrying some of the weight. Let's not just wave goodbye and say, hey, I'll be praying. Let's pray right then and there. Ephesians chapter 2, 32, just a quick encouragement from this. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, for me personally, instead of being harsh or critical with my words, how can I be gentle and caring? How can I build them up? And Lord, help me not to speak negatively about anyone behind their backs. Positively, I'll do. But Lord, help me not speak negatively. Help me not be critical behind someone's back. It's not love for one another. Lord, help me. No doubt you'll be sitting there saying, Lord, help me too. And if you've been offended, forgive and repent if needed. First John chapter 3, 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Lord, help me put this love into practice. Village Church, will we put love into practice? And just in closing, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, a few verses after bearing one another's burdens, Paul writes, he says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those in the household of faith. Now, the reality is, in a church the size of ours, it becomes increasingly difficult to do good to everyone. And this is why I believe it becomes increasingly more important for us as a church to be integrated into life groups, for example. Because it's in that environment, it's in a smaller context, that's where we can do good to everyone. In that group. That's where we can carry one another's burdens. That's where we can walk and grieve with someone and rejoice with someone. That's where we can outdo each other in showing honor. It's in a smaller context. So I don't believe big church is bad church, not at all. God added 3,000 in a day. They met in the temple and they met in homes. I don't personally believe big church is bad church, but as the community gets bigger, the need for multiple communities becomes more necessary. And that's why we need life groups. And we've started in this, hey, this is a shameless plug. Few more life groups have started this year. We need more leaders. But if you are not integrated in a life group, if you're not integrated in the life of this church, can I encourage you, get involved. Get involved in a life group. This is where love for one another can truly take place. There's only so much I can do on a Sunday morning. There's only so much we can do in this corporate gathering. But when it comes to day in and day out, those are the people we walk with. Those are the people we love. First Corinthians 13 from verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Church, can you stand with me, please? What was your number on the love scale? Whatever that number is, that's between you and God. But the question is, what do I need to put in place today? What do I need to put in place tomorrow? What do I need to put in place as we move into the 2023 and beyond to grow in love? This thing is important. John 13, 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. our love for each other in this household of faith testifies to the world that we are followers of Jesus. This isn't just a good idea. It's not just a suggestion. It's not a request. It is a command from our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. And will we joyfully obey him? Let me pray. Father God, as we as your people stand before you, we recognize, Lord, that your love is so unfathomable. There is only so much we can grasp. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as your people, we would grow in our understanding and in our revelation and in our knowledge of your love for us. Lord, I also ask that we would grow in our love for one another, that the love that you have for us, Lord, would turn into love that we have for you, Lord, and then would overflow into our love for each other. Please help us. By your Spirit, enable and empower us to love as you have loved us, Jesus. Equip us to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just as Phil's getting up, as you need to respond in your own heart or in the car ride home or over lunch or if there's discussions you need to have with a spouse or a sibling or a whatever, allow God to just highlight, what do I need to do? And then respond.